Hello, and welcome to Apprendre l'anglais, Advanced Lesson number 13. Bonjour et bienvenue à Apprendre l'anglais, leçon avancée numéro 13. Je m'appelle Thomas, je suis américain, et au travers de ce podcast, je voudrais partager avec vous un peu de la langue anglaise. Today is Friday, April 10th, 2009, and we're studying the meaning of the word fluent, among a few other things. Et n'oubliez pas que les leçons avancées sont vraiment pour les personnes qui ont déjà étudié l'anglais un peu. Alors, si ce n'est pas vous, ne vous en inquiétez pas. Let's begin. Today we have a few different topics that I want to go over, but the first one that I wanted to cover is the new structure that I'm going to be using for the advanced lessons. I have a very regular structure with the regular lessons that I use. The expressions lessons have the same structure to every lesson, but the advanced lessons don't really have any sort of structure yet, and I think that this is hurting them a little bit, makes them a little more difficult to come up with, and you don't know what to expect when you listen to one. And the structure that I choose will probably change, of course, but what I'm going to start out with is the following. I plan on first addressing a listener question, something from email, the forum, or any sort of contact, and a listener question of some sort. And then after that, I'm going to discuss some sort of grammar point. Now, this will usually be a more advanced grammar point, and will not usually involve something such as a tense or something like that, unless it's at a higher level. I'm not going to sit here and say, okay, let's conjugate the simple past tense. Nothing like that. It's going to be more advanced grammar points. And after that, there's going to be a general discussion point, which is what I'm going to consider the main focus or the main point of the lesson. For example, today we're studying the meaning of the word fluency. And then, of course, at the end, I'll do my usual closing. And if you have any comments on this, of course, you can always email them to me, and I will be happy to respond. I am going to try to keep announcements at the beginning of the podcast down to a minimum. For those who don't want to listen to the announcements, they can simply stop the podcast at the end before they listen to the announcements. I do have a few today. Some of them are very exciting for me, and they will all be at the end of this podcast. But anyway, on to today's grammar point. I don't actually have a listener question for today. I looked for one, but I could not find one that I thought was more of an advanced lesson question. But anyway, today's grammar point. I wanted to cover some common American mistakes. Now, so you spend months or years studying English, you think you know everything perfectly, and then you come to America, and you hear someone say something, or see someone write something that's wrong. You want to correct them, but then you start to question yourself, and you start to wonder, wait a second, am I wrong? Are they wrong? And you don't know. It's a difficult situation to come into. And truth be told, as we're going to discuss a little bit more in detail later on, no one speaks a language perfectly. Even a native speaker does not speak a language perfectly. Native or fluent, they don't mean perfect. And today I wanted to cover some simple American mistakes. These are very common. These are mistakes that Americans are aware of, but make nonetheless. And there are two of them, though they're the same type of mistake. These are simple spelling mistakes. Quite often, you hear the word your. Now, your in English has two main meanings, y-o-u-r, meaning a possessive noun belonging to you, or y-o-u apostrophe r-e, meaning you are. There are a couple other meanings, for example, y-o-r-e, which is something completely different, but those are the two meanings that people typically mix up. And just understand that these are common mistakes that Americans make. The other one is the same kind of thing, the word there. There are three main spellings of this word that you will see, t-h-e-r-e, meaning a place, like là-bas, ou, you know, it's just a place, not here, but there. Then you have T-H-E-I-R, which is the possessive for they, so like their bike or their movie, their dog. And then the last one, T-H-E-Y apostrophe R-E, short for they are, conjunction, just like your. And quite often, you will see these mixed up. You will see an American use the wrong one in a sentence. And you may have the urge to correct them and, you know, do it at your own risk. You know, from time to time, I see a French person use the wrong gender on a noun. And maybe it's just a typo. Maybe they meant to type une, but only typed un because they forgot the E. Now, as all of you are aware, I don't speak French perfectly, and I do sometimes mess up the gender of words, even words I use quite often. But there are sometimes when I see someone use the wrong gender, and I wonder, now am I wrong, or is that wrong? And I just wanted to let you know, it's okay if you see an American make a mistake to realize that you were right and that they made the mistake, because it happens sometimes. This does kind of tie into what I wanted to talk about as our main topic today, and that is, what does the word fluent mean? I get emails all the time, people asking me, okay, I've studied English for a couple years, but what do I have to do to be fluent? Or people who have never studied English, they say, how long will it take me to be fluent? And this is something I have discussed a little bit in previous lessons, but what it boils down to is, fluent is not a set point. There is not one moment in time where 5 minutes ago you were not fluent, but now you are. That doesn't ever happen. There's no lightning bolt, no magical thunder, nothing like that that just makes you be fluent all of a sudden. What fluent literally means, if you look at the origins of the word, it's fluid, like a liquid. You know, when you pour water, it flows. And that's what fluent is. It means you're able to flow with a language. You can take words, you can speak. When I speak French, as I'm sure you've all noticed, again, I don't speak French perfectly. I make mistakes, I have a bit of an accent, I use the wrong word or the wrong gender, you know, I conjugate a verb incorrectly, whatever. I make mistakes. But many of you probably haven't noticed, I make mistakes in English too. I probably have in this podcast and just haven't even noticed it, and I know I have in other podcasts. Sometimes I'll stop and go back and correct it since I am teaching English, but sometimes I leave it in there because I don't notice or because it's more natural to have that mistake. You do the same thing in French. You make mistakes in French, and it's okay, because we're human. We're not perfect. But fluency is a difficult concept to get to. A lot of people think that to be fluent, you have to be perfect. You have to be able to answer every question about every verb tense. You have to know every grammar point. You have to know every vocabulary word. And it means you're just as good in English as you are in French. That's not true. When I am speaking French, there are many times when I make mistakes. But I get my point across. I say what I want to say. If I can't say it the way I want to, I come up with a different way to say it. Use different words. Use a different phrase. Stop the sentence. Make a new sentence. Try again. And eventually, I get my point across. When I'm listening to people, most of the time, I understand everything people say. But there are some times, there's some people with some crazy accents, that I don't understand. And I have to pick up on just certain parts, yet overall, I get what they're saying. Reading and writing, the same thing. Most of it I understand. You know, I can sit here and use iTunes and Firefox and whatever in French, and my cell phone and all that. It's in French. And I've learned a lot of words that way, but when I started using them, I didn't know half the words on there, but I was still able to use them. Because you've gotten to a point where you're fluent. For me, the first time I think I knew that I was fluent in French was a few years ago, and I was studying with a tutor that I had, a French girl who was helping me to learn English, and she was trying to explain something. I don't honestly remember what she was trying to explain, but she was trying to get me to come up with an adjective to describe something that could be done. The English word, doable. Now, I know the French word, faire. I've used faire since French 1. That's a really common verb. I've used it all the time. And I know the suffix able, or in English, able, like doable, do able, able to do. And I know that it's the same concept in French sometimes. And she was trying to get me to come up with the word faisable. And I may have pronounced that wrong, but you know the word I mean. I had never heard that word before. Not in my life, yet I could invent it in my head. And at that point, I knew I was fluent. That's the point you want to get to. You want to get to the point where you can flow with a language. When you learn French as your native language, you don't learn all the rules. You learn it as a small child. You speak it. Eventually, you write it. You read it. You listen to it. But you don't sit down and learn the rules first. You learn the language first. Then later you may learn some rules in school, but you don't have to know them perfectly. Ask the average person on the street, hey, what's a subordinate clause? They probably can't answer you. Same thing in America. Go ask somebody, hey, what's a subordinate clause? They look at you like you're weird. No one knows grammar. It's not necessary to speak a language. One thing that I do on the side to make a little extra money, I write some articles for one website teaching French. Now, I'm teaching French to Americans. And I was writing an article the other day about the imparfait. Now, the imparfait is a very easy tense. It's not difficult to form. It's not difficult to pronounce. It doesn't have any weird, you know, beginnings or anything like that. It's a very easy tense to do. But as I was writing this article, I was sitting there thinking, I've forgotten the rules for the imparfait. I had no idea what the rules were. I had to pull out a French book and look them up. But I sat there and asked myself, can I form these verbs in the imparfait? And I sat there and went through about 30 verbs just in my head. Okay, être, j'étais, you know, avoir, j'avais. And I sat there and went through all these verbs, and I was like, well, I can use the imparfait, but I forgot the rules. And that's what fluency is. It's a state where you don't have to follow the rules. You don't have to pause and think and then give an answer. You are able to respond and give an answer fluidly. Just think of it like when you're pouring water and the water goes into the glass, it doesn't fall in chunks. It's not ice. It's water. It flows. It's a liquid. That fluidity is fluency. They're the same concept. And that's what fluency is. And so that's kind of the goal of being able to speak a language. When you put on your resume that you speak English, you don't mean I'm American. You don't mean I know every word in the English language. You mean I speak English. I can understand it. I can speak it. I can read it. I can write it. But you're not saying that you're perfect, and employers understand that, and that's what the goal is. And keep that in mind, so just don't get discouraged. When you feel like you're not perfect, understand that that's okay. No one is perfect. Life is too short to be perfect. I mean, you couldn't learn another language perfectly in your lifetime because you can't even learn your own perfectly. Like I said, Americans don't speak English perfectly. I don't speak English perfectly. And you don't speak French perfectly. You make mistakes. I you know, one thing that really gets me, I get a lot of emails from younger French people too, like, you know, 10, 12, 13 years old. And really often I see this, they will use the infinitive of a verb instead of the past participle. So for example, I see something like, j'ai essayé, except instead of essayé with e accent aigu at the end, it's er at the end. And it's because the pronunciation is the same. So in their head, they're like, oh yeah, it's the same, and they don't think about it. But I understand it. Even though it's the wrong verb form, I still understand it. And that's what fluency is, being able to get it. You know, you don't have to know every rule perfectly. That's impossible. And just keep that in mind. Don't get discouraged. One last point that I would like to make about this has to do with accent. Like I've said, I have an American accent. Quand je parle français, j'ai toujours mon accent américain. And I will probably never lose it. My French accent will get better, it will get better, and it will get better over the years. But I will always be a little bit American, no matter how hard I work. That's okay. Because part of what makes you who you are is your accent. And keep that in mind. Don't sit there and torture yourself over your accent. This is kind of a pep talk, if you will. It's a good vocabulary word, pep talk. You know, it's supposed to be encouraging, but don't be discouraged because of your accent. Even in America, there are several different accents. The accent that I have is kind of a Midwestern accent. It's a very generic American accent. But right now I live in the Southeast. I live in Northern Alabama. Well, in Northern Alabama, this is not how people talk. People talk with a different accent. And with a Southern accent, I'm actually going to do some podcasts on accents later on. I'm working on getting a Canadian speaker of English. I already have a Southern speaker lined up, and I'm working on getting somebody from New York as well. I'm trying to get different people. And if any of you are out there are native speakers and are from pretty much anywhere, email me if you're willing to be recorded and put in a podcast, because I would love Irish, Scottish, Australian, South African, different parts of Canada. I mean, my friend is from Manitoba, but if you're from a different part of Canada, or if you're a French Canadian, you know, from Quebec, email me. But anyway, back to the point. or anywhere else in America too, like West Coast, Pacific Northwest, Southwest accent, if you've got a good East Coast accent too. You know, the accent is who you are. It's not like everyone speaks the same English. And so your English is going to be based on where you're from. You know, you have a French accent because that's who you are. Your French has some quirks based on where you're from. You know, the French spoken in Quebec is different from the French in Paris. You know, the French in Paris is different from the French in Tours. And they're all slightly different. And that's the point. Every version of a language has quirks. Every person who speaks a language has different quirks in their language. That's another good vocabulary word. Quirks. Q-U-I-R-K. Is it C-K? No, it's just K. And it's important. It makes up who you are. So just don't sweat about your accent. Your accent will get better the more you use it. But it's much, much, much more important to be able to speak a lot, to be able to speak fluidly, fluently with an accent than it is to be able to speak with a perfect accent, but only know like 100 words. When I started studying Chinese a few years ago, I was studying one-on-one with a native speaker from Taiwan, and they were teaching me Chinese. My accent was very good, and everyone that I spoke to told me, you have a very good Chinese accent. But I didn't know any words. Like, I couldn't talk to a Chinese person. I couldn't even have a very basic conversation. So even though I had a great accent, it didn't matter, because I couldn't speak with anybody. And now my accent is not as good, but I know more words in Chinese. So that's the idea. You want to be able to speak with someone before you want to work on perfecting those little details. You know, when you learn math, for example, you go through and you start with basic arithmetic. You know, 1 plus 1 is 2, 2 plus 2 is 4, 3 plus 3 is 6. You know, then you learn multiplication, division. You know, you learn basic things. You learn geometry. You learn trigonometry. And it's a step-by-step process. You, for the most part, have to master one level before you can move on to the next. Languages don't work like that. You learn what I call the skeleton of a language first, just the basics of everything over a short period of time, and then you go back and fill in the holes. You know, you first learn one present tense, and then you learn one, maybe two past tense, and one or two future tenses. And, you know, you learn a decent amount of vocabulary, but not all of them. You know, you might know how to say voiture, but you don't know how to say, you know, voiture. You might know how to say car, but you don't know how to say seatbelt, or steering wheel, or airbag. But then later, after you've learned generic words, just general terms for a lot of things, you go back and you fill in the holes. And it's this constant relayering. It's like if you have a road that is being paved with asphalt, sometimes they put on several layers of asphalt before the road is complete and smooth. It's like when you're painting a wall. If you have a wall that is painted a very deep red, like a blood red. Well, and then you want to paint that wall white. If you put one coat of white paint over that wall, you will still see the red everywhere. And that's what learning a language is like. You put one coat of white paint on, and you can tell that there's white paint everywhere, but you can still definitely see the red. It's just like with a language. You learn some words, you learn some grammar, some vocabulary, you know, a few expressions, and you have some. You know, you can manage a little bit. It's like my Italian is very bad, but I know just a little bit of everything, but I don't know very much of anything. Then you put another layer of paint on. You know, you learn a couple more tenses, you know, maybe another past tense, another future tense. You learn a few more expressions. Your accent gets a little better. You know, the wall looks a little bit more white and a little bit less red. You put on another layer of paint, and another, and it's that same process that happens, and eventually, the wall doesn't look red. There's not a single point where you can say, oh, that's enough layers, there's no more red. You can always see just a little bit until eventually you realize, oh, I can't see the red anymore. And that's when you have become fluent. And that was the goal of this lesson. It's a difficult point to get to. And unfortunately, it's hard to say that there is, you know, X amount of time. People ask how many months, how many years does it take to become fluent or speak English? I don't know. It depends on how much time you spend with it, and it depends on what you mean by speak English. If you mean can order a sandwich, I can teach you enough English to order a sandwich in a couple days. If you mean be able to, you know, visit America and just see a different few things, but not talk with people, I can teach you that much English in a few weeks, you know, or maybe a couple months if you don't spend a lot of time with it. But if you want to be able to have conversations with people, it takes more time. But you're still going to be able to do the first things. You're still going to be able to order a sandwich or to visit the Statue of Liberty and see New York, you know, and do things like that. And that's what you have to realize, and that's what you have to stay encouraged with. But anyway, this is a little bit of a longer lesson. I do have a few announcements now. If you don't want to hear the announcements, you can stop the podcast. There's nothing more but announcements after this. I would like to announce, as soon as I have finished posting this podcast, I am going to begin the change on the website to version 2, version 2. I've actually been working on this version for a long time. I've had a lot of failed attempts. My first attempt at it was back in October of last year, and it did not work very well at all. And after many hours working on it, and many ideas, and many people helping, especially on the forum, in email, and a few of my own friends too, putting a little bit of time into it, I've come up with a version that I think is good. Hopefully the transition will go smoothly, and assuming that it does, the website should look much different starting tomorrow, or well, today. It's actually April 9th for me, but I post this on April 10th. And one of the big advantages of version 2 is that I have completely rewritten the entire website from scratch, and it will be a lot easier for me in the future to add things to the website, to change the website, and to improve the website. Whereas with the old version, that was very difficult to do and took a lot of time. And if you are interested in website development, or if you are interested in working on a podcast or anything like that, I am going to write a blog post about the website, going into a few more technical details of what I did, some of the changes I made, why I made those changes and such, but I'm going to save those for the blog post, and which should be up within the next few days. And another announcement that I have for the blog, this is an idea that I have had. It's an email from a long time ago that I just recently read from Pierre V. So merci beaucoup, Pierre. Thank you very much. It's a great idea he had, I believe. He asked for audio recordings of the blog posts. And I was thinking to myself, that's an ingenious idea. People always ask for more material, and sometimes it's hard to come up with material, but the blog posts are already written, so starting with the next blog post, with the one about the website, I'm going to be recording them all so you can listen to them. They will not, and I repeat, they will not be in the podcast feed. Les enregistrements du blog ne seront pas dans le flux RSS du podcast. That is very important to note. They are not more advanced lessons. They are simply recordings for people who want to listen to the blog, to practice your oral comprehension, and to get another insight into things. Some people may disagree with my decision not to put them in the podcast feed, but I have thought about it a lot, and that's what I am going to do. And I will one day go back and record all the old ones and put them up as well, but I will be recording all future blog posts and putting them on the blog where you can listen to them directly there. And soon, also, the blog posts will be available on the main page. That's one of the improvements that I will make very quickly to the main page, is that blog posts will show up there. And one similar note, as far as emails go, I've been trying to catch up. I've written literally hundreds of emails in the past couple months attempting to catch up, and it's just becoming very overwhelming to do. And what I have decided is that I'm going to answer all emails from April this month, March last month, and February 2 months ago. And that is all. If you have written me an email before that, I will read it or already have read it, but I will not be responding. If you do want a response, just send the email again, or send me an email asking for a response, and I keep all the old emails so I can find it. And I will give you a response. But I'm just trying to get caught up, and I want to be fair to the people who are still writing me now. I do apologize, and I ask for your understanding, but I am starting to get a large number of emails, so it's becoming a bit more difficult to answer them all. And I would like to focus my time on the podcast, the forum, you know, the website, the things that everyone can use. If you have a question, you can always email me. You will get an answer faster from the forum, though. There are more people there, and also you may find that someone's already asked your question, and the answer's right there already for you. And that way, if you ask one that's new, someone else in the future will see the question, and they may not have to answer it. But of course, you can always still email me or respond to me on Twitter. I'm trying to become more active on Twitter, too. And anyway, so that's enough for announcements and enough rambling. Another great vocabulary word. Very important to know about my personal speaking style, ramble, R-A-M-B-L-E. It means to talk on and on and on. A good expression, I've seen several people at J'en passe des meilleurs. In English, we say, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. You also see, and on, and on, and on. Sometimes you also see people simply say, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those don't keep the literary translation of J'en passe des meilleurs, because that is from, I believe, one of Victor Hugo's works, but it keeps the linguistic, or the, not the syntactical, but the, well, the actual meaning of the phrase as far as use in a sentence, not the literary translation, of course, but the use in a sentence. And, but anyway, I have been putting expressions up like that is an example of a Twitter post I put up recently. That's a good translation. And anyway, that is all for today. I would like to thank everyone again for listening and putting up with my rambling. And if you do have any questions, you can email them to me at anglaispod@gmail.com. That's anglaispod@gmail.com, gmail.com. And you can also visit the website, www.anglaispod.com. And you can find the forums there, the show notes are downloadable, and everything else there. You can see version 2 starting today. Well, in about 2 hours or so it will be available, probably. And this will be posted about 1 a.m. Central Daylight Time, which is 7 a.m. French time, I believe. Maybe 8, but I believe 7. And Daylight Savings Time always messes me up. And you'll be able to see the website there and use everything on there. So, anyway, thanks again for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye.